Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
One of the things that we really are looking at, and obviously it's a sneak peek into one of our key focus areas for 2011, which Nat mentioned we're launching and our Vision Sunday on the 13th of Feb, but one of them is prayer. And, you know, it's amazing, isn't it, that when we get determined about prayer, that things actually happen. And then we slip into a level of comfortability and get comfortable with life until something comes along. And just listening to the news reporters over this last week, and I'm sure it's heartfelt, and they mean it. It's like, you know, our prayers are with you, that we're praying for you. And Kevin Rudd, I even heard him saying, look, you know, if you're the praying kind, could you please be praying for the state of Queensland? It's amazing how there's this acceptance and awareness of this whole area of prayer, that there is this kind of innate understanding that prayer is powerful, that prayer can actually make a difference. People don't just say these things, you know, and it hasn't come about that it becomes a nice thing to say for no reason. It's because prayer is powerful. But imagine as a church if we could somehow capture the levels of desperation and intense desire to have to pray at moments like this, in the moments of crisis, if we could somehow allow the Spirit of God to grip our hearts and spirits to go, that's what I'm going to be the majority of my life, to have that level of desperation for prayer. I'm not going to wait for a crisis, a national crisis, a personal crisis to evolve before I get desperate about prayer. But our natural norm, our culture at Compass Church, is that we have that desperation in prayer even if there isn't a crisis going on. Who's with me? Imagine what could actually take place through a community like the size of ours if we kind of stepped up to that level of commitment to prayer and making prayer that level of priority. Because, you know, last week we talked about, you know, Matthew 7 talks about how, you know, wide is the way that leads to destruction and many go through it. Narrow is the way. That way is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to peace through the power of the cross. There's only one way to the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ, through the myriad of options that are out there, that Jesus claims to be the only way, that through him, and that narrow is the road that we are called to lead on and walk down that leads to eternal life. And so the Christian life is not always easy. There are certain things that we're called to leave behind and to stay away from out of maintaining relationship with God. And some of the habits that we had called to develop and build in our lives don't come naturally or easily, because we're talking about supernatural principles. And prayer is one of those things that we're told is crucial to the life of a Christian. It's like breathing. Prayer is like breathing. It's not an optional extra. It's not like, you know, yep, I'll jump in my Christian car and yep, if I've got the money, I'm going to buy the air conditioning prayer unit that sits in there to help keep me comfortable. It's not about, it's prayer has to be part of our lives. And as we said last week, you know, if we want to make Compass Church our home, then we have to pray. We have to become a greater praying church. I love Pastor Yongyi Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world, you know, sitting on 1 million people, just a small little shabby church over there in Korea. But 1 million people, can you get your head around that? It's mind-blowing, but he just simply, you know, I fast and I pray, I listen and obey, and God will give you your vision. And it's like, I fast and I pray, I listen and obey. And that, you know, God wants to deposit, you know, that direction and answer to prayer and that sort of thing out of that time with him. But last week we saw two things that are important elements of prayer. The first one was that prayer changes things, but primarily prayer does change us. I talked about the fact that when we go into prayer, we think somehow that God's going to change his mind, but what happens is we get transformed and changed through the process of being in his presence through prayer. We come out of it and we think because the prayer's answered that God changed his mind. No, guess what? God's changed and molded us. So we begin to pray according to his will, that we begin to think according to his ways. And so we start to see the priorities and the things that break his heart. So we begin to pray according to what God wants to see done. And suddenly we're thinking we've changed God's mind, but God's kind of pretty cool like that. He changes us. Sneaky, but it works. It's good. It's good. Some questions I asked about prayer was like, who thinks that prayer is important? I need an answer to this. This is a question. Who thinks that prayer is important? Okay, good. So the questions I asked, who has seriously tried to develop their prayer life since becoming a Christian? Who has actually literally come up with a plan, an intentional strategy on how you are going to improve your prayer life? Because if we think it's important, then we should actually take measures and our life should reflect that priority of prayer. So I'm really challenged. As I said last week, you know, the people gathered for days waiting as they were told to, and they prayed diligently and they prayed hard. They're praying for 10 days. Peter preaches for 10 minutes and then 3,000 are saved. Whereas these days we tend to pray for 10 minutes, preach for 10 days, and then we may be lucky to see three people saved. And we've got to change that, which means, yeah, I may need to actually talk less and we may need to pray more. And this morning's going to be choose your own adventure. This morning's going to be kind of like whether you want to be involved or not, that's up to you. But give me three more minutes and you'll understand what I'm saying. Some of the other questions that I asked were, what steps have you taken in your prayer? How have you stepped out in faith in your prayer? How many prayer meetings have you attended since becoming a Christian? Because attendance at a church service will tell us how popular church is, but attendance at prayer meetings will tell us how popular Jesus is. So how many prayer meetings, how many pre-service prayer meetings have we made the time for? Because I know that if you were given a special VIP card that you were going to get 85% off at your favourite retail store and you had to be at that door at 9:30 a.m, doors open at 9:30, you'd be at there at 7:30 a.m. so that you could be first in line. Maybe. Amen, some of you say. Preach it, brother. But you get my drift, don't you? What our priorities are is where we put our time. And who we hang around is who we become like. And if we want to be like Jesus, we've got to hang around him. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In the natural, the people you hang around is going to determine where you're going to end up in life. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we've got to hang around him. The second thing we said was that God releases power through prayer. Church history shows us that. But if you want a dull, boring, mediocre church, if you want a dull, boring, mediocre life, don't pray. Just don't change anything that we're doing right now. Let's just go through the motion of running programs and just doing church each Sunday. But let's not have it birthed or backed out of prayer. Let's not increase the emphasis of prayer. Let's just keep it going the way it is and not getting desperate about prayer. And we will just settle into what we currently have. And just to let you know, I don't want to stop here. I thank God for where we are. But Lord Jesus, if this is as dynamic and as great and as impacting as it's going to get, if we're not going to actually make a difference in people's lives outside of the four walls of this church, Jesus, take me home now. Because there are so many people out there that need Jesus. And we can be so comfortable in our worlds and getting into prayer and getting passionate and allowing God to stir our hearts for his heart and for people and for nations and for all sorts of things. Getting the heart of God will stir us to action. And that's what we want to do. So that were the things that we talked about last week. So God will change us. So it's up to you. Everybody say me. Me, the M stands for mediocrity. The E stands for extraordinary. You choose which one you want to pursue. Mediocrity or extraordinary? I don't know if you hang around me. I'm going for extraordinary. I want all that God has for us as a church, for your life, for your relationships, for your family, for your business, for whatever career you're going into, for whatever it is, your schools, your study, all that God's got for your life, that's what I want to see come to pass in your world. And same for my family. And to do that, it takes effort. Nothing worth something costs nothing. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And we've got to make sure that our priorities are in the right order and we can't go wrong when prayer is up there in our priorities. Amen? So this morning, it's choose your own adventure. I want to thank you for coming to church this morning. The service is now closed. That's it. We're done. If you want to stay in this theatrette room, we're about to have a prayer meeting that's going to go for about 20 minutes. Now, some of you freak out when you hear prayer meetings. It's like, that's weird. What happens in a prayer meeting? Well, hang around and find out. It's not that weird after all. And if you've never been in a prayer meeting, I encourage you to hang around, maybe just for 5 minutes. And yet we want to create opportunities for you to pray. If prayer is important for us as a church, then I, as the pastor, need to go, well, how can we show that, demonstrate that in a practical way? I'm done preaching. That's it for today. Some of you are like, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. At last, he's here. God, you've heard our prayers. Phil's messages are getting shorter. That's great. Well, I've talked less than 10 minutes, but I don't think we're going to see 3,000 saved today, but that's okay. But we just want to turn this time now into a prayer meeting. There's a couple of people who are just going to talk for about 2 minutes on prayer, And then we're just going to pray together. Some people here are confident in praying. Some people are comfortable in praying out loud, and that's great. Maybe that's not you, and that's okay. But maybe one of the things that will happen in your faith walk this year when it comes to prayer is that within your life group or when you come into a church prayer meeting, that you're going to start to just maybe not lead the prayer, but you're going to agree in prayer because there's great power in unity in prayer. And that as you're sitting, you might sit there and you might just go, yep, amen, I agree with what that person's praying. Amen, I agree with that. And just be in unity in prayer. So for about 20 minutes, we're just going to start to pray. And if you're visiting with us today, this is not normal. We don't normally do this. But we are going to have coffee and things out in the foyer. For anyone staying in here, please understand this is a prayer meeting. So we just ask that you respect this space. You know, this is kind of like, we want to just declare this is kind of like holy ground for the next, as it has been, but for the next 20 minutes. And you can leave at any time. We're going to close the doors. And so when you go out, if you can just close the door behind you. If you're not comfortable in hanging around, please, that's fine. That's totally okay. You don't have to stay. You get to leave early today. Or please hang around and grab a coffee. Ben is going to stand up. This is Ben. So Ben is going to be just out in the foyer area. And if you've got any questions about prayer or about Compass Church, you know, why don't you have a chat to Ben? He's one of our leaders in the church, and he's just going to be hanging around out there to answer any questions you might have. But please don't rush off or feel as though we're kicking you out. That's not what this is about. We're just going, prayer's important, and this is one way in which we can show that. And tonight, if you need to go early before we wrap up, tonight from 6 till 7 at the church office, we're having a prayer meeting for 1 hour. That's all it is, just an hour getting together and praying. And if you can't get to the prayer meeting and you're on Facebook, just jump on the Compass Church Facebook page and write something on the wall while you're praying. If God gives you a verse or he gives you a vision or a picture or something you want to share, just put it up on the Compass Church wall or SMS it to me, email it to me, and I can post it on the Compass Church wall. So we're kind of going a little bit cyber with our prayer meeting. If you can't physically make it to the location, that's not an excuse not to come. But if for legitimate reasons you can't make it, then jump online and or text some stuff through. That would be terrific. But just let's just consider the meeting now closed, and we're just going to just go into a time of prayer. All right, Matthew 6 talks about a model of prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the best ways that we can start prayer off in our own times together is with a time of praise, adoration to God. Because what that does is it minimizes like our focus on our needs and wants and starts to get us refocused on who God is. And we've got some notes that we want to hand out that you can use right now. And please don't rip off the green post-it note that's in there until there is a reason that's in there. But our Father indicates that we have a Father who is in heaven, reigning and ruling. Hallowed be your name. He is holy. He is worthy of praise. Like we've been singing praises this morning, we're about to express our praise in words. And whatever that means to you. In these first 5 minutes, we just want to focus on who God is. Everybody say, who God is. Who God is. That's what this first 5 minutes is about. And I don't know about you, when I go to pray, I've got like a gazillion things that are going through my mind. And so we've left the top part of that page blank for you so that you can write down anything that's distracting you. So if you've got an assignment, if you've got a project, if you've got a deadline coming up, if you've got a financial need, if there's an illness in the family, write it down so that that's not going to be niggling in the back of your mind while you're trying to pray. I write lists when I pray just so I can come back to it later. I know I won't forget it. Or if as you're praying something comes up, you're reminded of something, write it down so you're not just thinking about that for minutes and getting distracted. Just quickly jot it down. So that space is there for you if you need it. If you are more disciplined than I am, which is probably not hard, you probably won't need to write as much as I do. But that space is there just so you can like just help clear your head. But I'm going to ask Paul Porter to come up because I just want to cut. Two people are going to share today just on their perspective on prayer. Some of us maybe have never been in a prayer meeting or starting to get a grip on prayer. And Paul's just going to share for 2 minutes just about his journey when he became a Christian and how he began to grasp this concept of prayer.
Morning. When I first came to church, I'd actually spent most of my life being brought up in the mainline church. Prayer to me was something we had to do, normally because we'd done something wrong. So we had to sort of like, and for me that was quite often. It's okay, even as a little kid. But it was just all models. It was just prayers. And Phil mentioned about the Lord's Prayer. That was one that I'd learnt to hate for quite a long time because it was a penance that we had to do. Then when I came to a Pentecostal church, it was sort of like, wow, this bit out here, you know, what's going on here? So I started going from one extreme to another. And a lot of the prayers that I was listening to at the Pentecostal church, some of the people were fantastic, but I'd get totally lost again. So I'd actually start getting into a Bible, which was new for me as well. And I'd just read something out of the Message, because it says it, for me it says it, and it's what I learned pretty quickly. Prayer with simplicity. That's what it is. It's just simple. You're just coming to God and talking to Him. We were created, the very first man that was created, Adam and Eve. They were created so that they could converse with God, so they could walk with God.
Yeah.
Simple. That's prayer. But as I say, when I became a Christian, the Pentecostal side of things, some people were just totally over the top. And actually says from the Message, when you come before God, don't turn this into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? I don't. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place. And that's really just, even in a busy place, you can find that. You just can focus on God. That's your quiet place. It doesn't matter where you are. So you find your secluded place. So you won't be tempted to role play before God, because he doesn't want that either. Just be there as simple and honestly as you can imagine. The focus will shift from you to God, because that's what it is. God knows what we want. It took me a long time to learn that, but he already knows it. He wants you to start to focus on what he wants you to pray about. And that focus is others. So, and for me, that was a huge revelation. And with the Pentecostal side of things, this goes on. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. And that's not what it's about. Don't fall for the nonsense. This is your Father that you're dealing with, your Heavenly Father, and he knows exactly, better than you do, what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray simply, and that's all it is. That's what I learned. It's the best thing I ever learned. He's your mate. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to help you, and he does. That's what I learned.
Great. Thanks, Paul. So I hope that helps some people in the room. When I pray, I like to walk. Sometimes I kneel, sit down. I want you just to be totally relaxed, just whatever you're comfortable in praying. But the next few minutes, we're just going to just start to express our praise of who God is, just in words that you're comfortable with. Don't think you should use Elizabethan English or the King James Bible. Thus verily I say unto thee, O God of the heavens and the earth. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be like, it's just like, God, I think you're awesome. God, I praise you that you created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. God, I thank you that you love me so much. Just begin to praise him for who he is. So we're going to start to do that. And if you're not comfortable, but if you've never been in a prayer meeting before, there are going to be people that are praying out loud. Don't feel like you have to do that. You're welcome to do that, but just whatever you're comfortable in. Let's go. Father, we just thank you today for who you are. Lord God, right now we want to be a people that make priority of prayer. We come before you today through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have access through him. And right now, as a people, as a church, right now, we just want to tell you, Lord, just how great you are. We've sung it. How great is our God? You are great. You're wonderful. You are so good. We adore you. We want to praise you right now for who you are. We praise you today, Almighty God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you are good. That's it. Just begin to just praise him for who he is, church. Let's not worry about what's going on around us. Let's just start to think of those words that, for you, describe who God is. God, you are so much bigger than we can imagine. Lord God, you are majestic. You are mighty. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. God, you are generous, a giving God. God, you gave your Son. We praise you today because you're worthy of praise. People praise all sorts of different things. People make stuff and layer it with gold and they worship it and they think it's going to answer and they think it's going to come to life. But God, we get to serve you, the living God, the one and only true and living God, the bright and morning star. Oh, we praise you today. Lord God, we thank you that you are delighted with our praise. You love it when we worship you, when we praise you. We adore you. Lord God, you are magnificent in every way. You are holy. You are righteous. God, you've been so good to me. I thank you for your grace towards me and to my family. Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. Lord God, in my tough times, you're always there. Lord God. Lord God, you've picked me up so many times. You've forgiven me. God, I don't deserve, Father God, to have what I do. I don't deserve to do what I do, but it's by your grace and your mercy. God, we're so thankful today. Lord God, I thank you. Thank you. Lord God, you're a holy, righteous God. Lord God, you are a God who does not tolerate sin. That, Lord God, you've made a way for us to be free from the bondages of sin, from, Lord God, from the guilt and the shame that we carry. God, you didn't create us to carry that, but you created us to be free. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who you gave on the day of Pentecost was poured out. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're wanting to reveal more of who Jesus is and make Jesus real to us here this morning in a way we haven't experienced before. I thank you, Lord God, as we wait on you right now, that you want to just begin to move through this place, that you're wanting to just do good things in our lives today. We praise you today. That's it, church. That's it. Let's just focus on who our God is. God is good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Lord God, it's so good to be in your presence. We don't deserve it, but we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Praise you, praise you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you today. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord God. The next thing that I start to do when I'm praying or when we have a prayer meeting is to, the first one is A, adoration, that acclamation of who God is. C is consecration or confession. And it says, you know, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And I want us just to have a private moment right now, just for a few moments, where we just kind of like just commit our lives totally over to him again and say, Lord, this week I really stuffed up. God, you know, but I just want to receive your forgiveness right now. You don't have to strive for God's forgiveness. You don't have to do anything. It's a grace gift from God to us. There are no works that we can do to have that forgiveness. God's already offered it through his Son. He's already accomplished that. He's already forgiven you. We just have to receive and accept that forgiveness that he's got for us. So just the C here right now is just that confession. That's that consecration of saying, God, here's my life. Why don't you just take a few moments just to examine your heart before God and say, God, I just lay it all down before you today. Praise you. Praise you. Lord, as the psalmist wrote, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Father, I thank you that as we've just laid all our stuff before you, Father God, in fact, as we lay our whole lives before you today, that your grace is sufficient. Lord God, none of us in this room have done anything that will ever separate us from your love. And if we're willing to receive your forgiveness here this morning, that we can walk away a new creation, that we can be free today. That, Lord, we don't have to carry guilt and shame, but we can be clean. We can have a clean slate. We can have a fresh start leaving this place today. That, Lord God, you are the God of the second chance. You're the God of the tenth chance, the thousandth chance. Lord, not that we want to go on willingly, Father God, just taking you for granted. That's not what it's about. But, Lord, when we do make a mistake, we want to be people that take responsibility. And, Lord God, just say, God, I'm sorry. And we declare your lordship over our lives, over Compass Church here today. Just begin to confess his lordship over your life and that you're submitting your life, your family, your world, all that you have, all that your dreams, your desires, just submitting it all to him and saying, Jesus Christ, you're Lord of my life. Take all of me. Lord God, all of me is yours. I just commit myself to you, Heavenly Father, today afresh. Thank you for your grace that you've forgiven me. Lord God, that we're free. We're a people that are free. Free to love, free to serve, free to worship, free to run and not grow weary. We praise you today. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, I just ask for your healing power just to flow through this place right now. Holy Spirit, as people have just laid themselves bare, it's a vulnerable thing to do. We can't hide anything from you, God. But right now, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're not here to condemn. Jesus said, you said that you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through you that we may find life and life abundant. And that you are not here to condemn any person in this room this morning. But Holy Spirit, you have come to bring healing and restoration. I thank you, Lord God, for your love that you're pouring into people's lives right now as we are waiting on you, Lord God. People in this room, Lord God, weren't expecting to have an encounter with you. But Lord God, this house is called to be a house of prayer. And we don't want this place just to be a house. We want it to be God's home. We want it to be the place where God resides. That when we come to your house, Almighty God, we have an encounter with you. That we connect with the living God. And that in this moment right now, Father God, we ask that we'd have that encounter with you. That we would, Lord God, just experience healing on the inner and our innermost being, Father God, that only you can do that. Lord God, for broken hearts in this room, just pour out your healing balm, that you would just heal hearts in this place. Restore the brokenhearted in this room right now. Thank you, Lord God, that we can walk in freedom, free of shame and free of guilt. That, Lord God, that we can walk with strength and boldness and confidence because Jesus Christ has saved us and redeemed us. That your Spirit fills us, Almighty God, to be more than conquerors. Lord God, we're not called to be the tail, but you've called us to be the head. Lord God, that you've called your church to arise. Father God, Lord God, to be a light on a hill, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Lord God, that we stand upon you, Lord Jesus Christ, the solid rock that cannot be shaken. Lord God, I thank you for what you're going to do in this room right now. We're open to you, Father God. Let nothing stand in the way, Heavenly Father, of your Spirit moving in this place. I thank you, Lord. Lord God, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And that's so much easier, Lord God, for you to do when then it's not that crap standing in the way, the stuff. That as we've repented and as we've just laid our lives down, Father God, it's just, you're just free to move in this place. We're open to you moving, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. You know, sometimes you can just get lost in the presence of God. You know, sometimes you kind of look at your watch and don't realize an hour's gone by when you kind of start to press into God like this, church. And I'm just so excited for some of you in this room, you know, sort of where you're starting to discover prayer that, like, you know, maybe 5 minutes kind of seems scary, but before long, 10 minutes is going to be just really comfortable. And then you're going to realize that, wow, getting into the presence of God and just waiting on God is the best thing I could possibly do. As Martin Luther said, I have so much that I need to do, I'm going to spend the first 3 hours of my day praying about it. The next thing that I encourage you to do, we've done A, C, the next thing is a T, which is just simply thanksgiving. We've focused on who God is and we've laid our lives down. Now we can begin to praise God for what he has done. Thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's done. We have so much to be thankful for, church. So much to be thankful for. The fact that we have air to breathe. We're in a country that we can meet openly like this. I mean, there's so many things in your own personal journey that's got you to this point. And as I said this morning, Habakkuk said, even when things are going bad, yet I will praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in God my Saviour. So now that there's no kind of white noise, there's no static, and I hope you've written stuff down. If you're distracted by a thought, that you've just been able to write it down on that blank space at the top of page one. We're just going to take just a couple of minutes, just begin to thank God for what he's done. Whatever that means to you in your own words, just start to thank God for what he's done. Lord God, we thank you today. As a church, we thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. Anything that we have accomplished, you have done for us, Father God. Lord God, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. That's given us peace, peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God. And that peace comes to guard our hearts and our minds. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for our health. Thank you for friends. Thank you for family, Lord God. Thank you for the answers to prayer that we've seen time and time and time again. Thank you, Lord God, you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. Lord God, thank you that we can hold on to you, Father God. Thank you that you are there to rejoice with us in the victory moments. Thank you that your comfort comes when the tears flow. Thank you, Lord God, for my friends. Thank you for my mates, Lord God, that have got my back, Lord God. My friends you've put in my world. Thank you for the work that we have, Lord God. Thank you for the way that you provide, Lord God, through our work and that you've opened doors of opportunity, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the people that you've allowed, Lord God, into our world that we can have relationship with. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings, just the practical, Lord God, blessings that you've blessed us with, the clothes and the house and the car, Lord God. It's only but by your grace you've provided these things, Lord God, and I thank you for them today. Thank you so much for my salvation, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You gave your life, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. There's only two more things that I do, generally speaking, in my prayer times. The next one is S. So it just spelled out the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. The S is just the supplications, which is a kind of biblical word for requests or petitions that we put before God. I'm just going to ask Sean to come because Sean's got a great gift of faith on his life that when he prays, he believes that what he's praying for, by the will and plan and purpose of God, it's going to come to pass. And I know you're going to be encouraged today as he just comes to just share when it comes this part of your prayer time to come before God to ask for things after we've done all those other things that, you know, you can really believe something's going to shift and move.
Thank you. Well, I've come to discover that faith is such a key to our prayer life. In fact, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what God has taught me is to just trust in his word, to believe in his word, and have faith in his word. And true faith is... should be built on God's word, because it's in God's word that we grow in the knowledge of him. We grow in the knowledge of his Son, his Holy Spirit, the promises that he has for our life, the plan and purpose that he has for our life. We should build our faith on God's word. And it's true that only faith can activate the word of God in our lives. But what I find is many people lack faith. Many people read the word of God, but they don't truly believe what they're reading. And I refuse to live like that. I refuse to live in defeat. I choose the victory and I choose to live in the promises of God, because what I read in this book is real. It is true. God is faithful. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. And his word will never fail. Just want to share a scripture in Mark 11, verse 12 to 14 and 20 to 24. The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed the fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. The next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered that Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Praise God. Praise God. I mean, Jesus has given an amazing example that even to have faith the size of a mustard seed, we could tell a mountain to be uplifted and throw itself into the sea. That is an extreme example, but according to your faith, be it unto you. So I guess what I want to say is, what is your measure of faith today? What do you believe for in your life? What is it that you believe? Because according to your faith, be it unto you. It's our faith that activates the promises of God in our life. Amen. Okay, the keys to faith in prayer. First and foremost, forgive others and ask for forgiveness. Find a promise in God's word for whatever it is you are seeking. What you desire must be consistent with God's word. Believe God's word, for it is backed by all the honor of his name. Do not consider contradictory circumstances. Trust in God despite your circumstances. We give power to what we focus on, the promises of God or the circumstances we are under. Speak victory over your circumstances and victory in Jesus' name. And praise God in advance. See, the Bible says, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Another way of putting it is faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So that is truly how we activate faith in our lives, that we pray for the things, we believe in those things, and as we pray, we release that into the spiritual realm. And it's only our faith that can make it manifest in the physical. So we have to believe wholeheartedly and not waver in our faith. We have to have a stubborn faith. We have to believe that God can accomplish all that he set out in his word. Otherwise, we are defeated. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again and he claimed victory on our behalf. And he seats in the place of honor at the right hand. And he intercedes on our behalf. So victory is ours and we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the promises of God. Praise you, Jesus. So just now, just close your eyes and bow your heads because I think it's important now that we act on this. We act on the word that we've heard. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to uproot and throw itself into the sea. Wow, that is amazing. Faith the size of a mustard seed is all we require to see God's hand in our lives, to see him move in and through our lives. Whatever it is, church, whatever it is that you're believing for, whatever it is that you know God has placed on your heart, be desperate to see it come to pass. Be desperate to see it come to pass. In faith, exercise your faith through prayer and confess it with your mouth. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it shall come to pass. It is a faith that comes from the heart, and it's from the heart that we speak the words. So it's important that you have faith in your heart and exercise that by speaking the words. Just right now, just in your own way, just start to speak out things into your life. If you are believing for healing in your body, speak it out. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Healing is a promise of God. I am healed. I will have that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I have victory in the name of Jesus. I have freedom in the name of Jesus. I rebuke financial burden in the name of Jesus. I believe in relationships to be restored in the name of Jesus. Just speak it out, church. What are the desires of your heart? What is burning in your heart? Release it now. Release it now that God would hear it. Release it into the spiritual realm so that it can manifest here. We have to release it. We have to respond in faith. And the way we do that is that we speak it into existence. We speak over our circumstances. We declare that God is King, that God is the Lord over our circumstances, that we belong to Him and He is faithful and His word will never return void. Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe in the word of God? Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. I choose not to live in defeat anymore, but in the victory that is promised to me in God's word, in the victory that Jesus Christ claimed on my behalf. Hallelujah, Father God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for what is to come. We have already received your promises in our heart. We praise you for what is to come, Lord God. And the receiving comes after the believing. And we believe in your word, Lord God. We believe in your promises, Lord God. You are a faithful, loving God, and you want only the best for our lives. You want only the best for our lives, Lord God. You want to see us reach our potential, Lord Jesus. You want to see us fulfill the great plan and purpose that you have for our lives. Victory is ours, Lord God. And there is joy, Lord God. There is joy in you. There is joy when we rest in your promises. All we have to do is believe in you. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication, make our requests known to the Lord. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry. God is in control. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has it all worked out. Just trust in Him and believe in Him. Put your faith in Him. Faith is required. Walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in Jesus, faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Sean. You know, as you begin to start off with that prayer of just focusing on who God is, when you actually get to your needs, you realize, wow, God, my need isn't that great, really, in comparison to who He is. So it's about getting our perspective right and getting our hearts right before Almighty God to understand the bigness and the wonder and the beauty of our God and what He's able to do. So when you do present those requests, it's like, wow, God, this is going to be easy for you. This is easy for you. Amen. The other thing that you've got in your notes, and encourage you to bring them back in a couple of weeks' time. But just so you know, there's some prayer points there that you can... You can keep in mind that we've got down there as a church, there are some prayer scriptures there. On the back page, just quickly go over this before we wind up, is a strategic prayer focus. And there is a list of 11 scriptures there that you can, well, there's more than 11 scriptures, but there's 11 points there that you can use as a strategy to pray for people that you're believing that will come to know Christ this year. And, you know, obviously you put the person's name in there. I pray, Lord, that you draw so-and-so to yourself as number one and so on and so forth. But just encourage you to write down, you know, maybe three names. And we've started to do this in our life group and encouraging life groups to use the strategic prayer focus so that we can be praying for each other. I know people are praying for my friends and I'm praying for other guys in the life group, their friends, to come to know Christ. So it's just a powerful thing, praying scripture. And so what we've got, the last thing we want to do as we close this morning, with the post-it note that you've got there, we just want you to think, and maybe there's a person or there's, you know, maybe two or three people that you're believing to come to know Christ this year. And we would love for you just to write their names down on there. And just as the last thing, just as a sign of commitment to the Lord to say, God, I'm committing this person to you. I'm really believing that, Father, they're going to come to know you this year. And it's not about whether they end up at Compass or not. It's like, you know, we'll help them get plugged into a local church if they don't live near here. But, you know, the point is that we want to see people connect with God and others in a real way. And so if you've got some names, why don't you just write down those friends' names? And just before you leave, why don't you come down? This cross is not that big, so it's going to be pretty smothered and covered. But why don't you just come down? We're just going to just pin these names to the cross and just really commit them to the Lord today and just really pray. And as you're putting on there and saying, Lord, by faith today, I just see this person coming to know you this year. And we'll go over that a little bit more in a couple of weeks, but we'll just do that. Once you've done that, you might want to spend a moment just praying before you come down and do that. But once you've done that, by all means, our prayer meeting's finished for the day. Don't forget, from 6 till 7 tonight at the church office, which is 643 Nepean Highway upstairs. I'll be there to welcome you and to join with you in prayer. Otherwise, jump on Facebook or SMS me or email me, which is just phil@compasschurch.com.au, and I'll get that, and I'll be waiting for emails or whatever to come through if you want to pray at that time. But let me just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today, that, Lord God, today is the beginning of a shift in the life of this church. Lord God, we don't want to be about programs. We don't want to be about production. We don't want to be about preaching, and there's nothing wrong with all of those things. And we'll do the best that we can in each of those things. But Lord God, you've called us to be a house of prayer. That, Lord God, we as a people, individually in our own times, just going away to that quiet place to pray, getting into your presence, spending time with you, Jesus, so we can become more like you, Jesus. That, Lord God, there is something is going to stir in this church in 2011 when it comes to this whole area of prayer. And Lord God, we know, because your word says so, that you respond to praying people. And I'm just so excited about what you're going to do this year in response to us making prayer our priority. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon your people as we go today. May we go knowing full well that we have all of heaven backing our every move when we want to see your kingdom advance. So, Lord, for those that couldn't be here today, for those that are not well, we commit them to you. Lord God, for those that are struggling with illness, we just ask for your healing power just to touch them. Lord God, thank you already for answered prayer in this year, and it's only just started that there's already been answers to prayer of people having a turnaround in their health situations because of prayer, Lord God, which is so exciting. Look forward to sharing those stories and giving you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.